Right. Let's continue with our series of Shurim on the Parsha. As it so happens, even though we like to alternate, when the holidays come up and the Yom Tovim come up, we take a break from a halachic Shurim from the Parsha. We discuss the Yom Tovim, but with the last week and this week, even though it's a Parsha Shir, but in essence, we're doing Pesach in January. So last week, we spoke about Dalet Kosos, and this week I would like to speak about the mitzvah of Matzah, which were introduced in this week's Parsha in Parsha's Bo, in Perek Yud Beis, in Pasuk Ches, we have the reference of Achlu, it's a Basar B'lai L'Hazet, Sliyesh, the Karban Pesach, the Moshe has commanded for the Jewish people, well, Matzah, Sumorim Yochluhu. We're all familiar with the famous phrase that the Karban Pesach has to be eaten. It was like a hoagie. You know, you had the matzah, was the, you know, the sandwich, and then you had the marah, which was the, like, you know, the mustard and the mayo and the pickles and the fried onions. And anyway, it wasn't as elaborate as we've somehow figured out how to make sandwiches, but in essence, that was the necessary components of the Karban Pesach. We have a reference, our first reference to matzah. 10 psukim later, in Pasuk Yud Ches, the Torah tells us, speaking now about the future of all Pesach Ledoros, Barishon Barba Asar Yom Lachodesh Barav Tochlu Matzos, on that for all future, on the night of the 14th, i.e. the Tesvav of Nisan for all generations, Be'erav Tochlu Matzos, on that night you'll have to have Matzos, Ad Yom Echad Esrim Lachodesh Barav, until the end of the week later when the Chag is over. Thank you for the Chumash. So here we have two references to the mitzvah of Chilas Matzah. The first is in the context of the Karban Pesach, and the second one is more independent and more general. Now, this is not the only time in Devarim as well the Torah makes reference to the Achilas Matzah, and in fact, in the Gemaras, they utilize back and forth psukim, both from Parshas Bo, as well as the other times in the Torah where matzah is mentioned. And I want to take a look with you now at some of the makoros that discuss the mitzvah of matzah, and specifically what we're going to be trying to do is discuss two things. Number one is, the basic topic of the shiur is, what is the status of matzah throughout the Chag? We all know we eat matzah at the Seder. What about the rest of the Chag? That's number one. And number two, as a way of getting there, we're going to discuss something a little bit more subtle and innovative, which is, what is the relationship between matzah and chametz? Now, you might not understand what I mean even by that question, but you'll see in a few moments. Take a look at the first section of sources. This is the classic Gemara Masechta Pesachim, Daf Kuf Chaf, that talks about the mitzvah of matzah. The Gemara says, Tanya Kavase de Rava, Sheishes Yamim Tochal Matzos, Ubiyam Hashivii, Atzeres Hashem Lokecha. Now, don't be confused, that wasn't a pasuk that we just read from our parsha. As I said, matzah is mentioned a few different times in the Torah, but we see here a concept of matzah, Sheishes Yamim, 6 days you should eat matzah, Ubiyam Hashivii, Atzeres Hashem Lokecha. What does that mean? So we're leaving out the seventh day. Of course, Midah Raisa in Eretz Yisrael, Pesach is only 7 days. So the Gemara says, Ma Shvi Rishus, the seventh day was excluded from the mitzvah. Av Sheshes Yamim Rishus, right? We know, we say this in the morning, Rabbi Shmuel, something that's Bechlal, that's Yatza Min HaKlal, Lo Al Atzmo Yatza El HaKlal, Kula Yatza. So we have a holiday of Pesach, that's 7 days. Then we exclude and we take out the Yom HaShvi, the seventh day you don't have to have matzah. So says the Gemara, not only do you not have to eat matzah on the seventh day, maybe you don't have to eat matzah the whole Chag. It's like a radical Havamina. The Gemara says, maybe if we just had that Pasuk, we would think that there's no mitzvah of matzah, even though the Torah itself talks about the mitzvah of matzah. But when the Torah says you don't have to eat matzah on the seventh day, maybe we could, through this technical drush, say there's no chiv at all. And the Gemara says, 1 second, how is that possible? If you skip down to the bottom, the third line, Yochlaf Laila Harishon Rishus, is it conceivable that even at the Seder, even with the Karban Pesach, you don't have to have matzah? Tamalomar, no, the pasuk from our parsha, which we just saw, Al Matzos Umorim Yochlu. We already saw you have to have matzah with the Karban Pesach. So, 1 second. So now I know that I have to have matzah on the first day. Sounds like from the Gemara, what about after the Seder? What does it sound like? No mitzvah. But 1 second, says the Gemara, maybe now I could even limit that. Because after all, if the makor for eating matzah on the first night is on matzah samar miyachluhu, so how does that lock me in? Because what's that connected to? Karban Pesach. So what about now? Nebuch, we don't have a Karban Pesach. So the Gemara asks that question. How do I know that there's a makor that I have a chiyuv to eat matzah even nowadays at the Seder? Tamalomer, says the Gemara, the second pasuk from our parsha, be'erev tochlu matzos, hakasuv kavu chova. By using that strong, direct lotion of be'erev tochlu matzos, and that second pasuk doesn't end up with the Karban Pesach. So says the Gemara, that is the indication that on the Leil HaSeder, whether it's one night in Eretz Yisrael or two nights in Chutz La'aretz, on Leil HaSeder is a chiyuv, a mitzvah aseh d'oraisa l'dorei doros, for all generations, a chiyuv, you have to have your kazayas of matzah. We're not discussing how big is the kazayas, how much is the kazayas, how big of a slob can you be while you eat the matzah, and how you're going to come home and tell your parents you're not eating enough matzah. All that stuff we'll leave for other rebbeim to deal with. The Gemara says very simply, there's a chiyuv to eat matzah on the Leil HaSeder, even without the Korban Pesach. But what about the rest of the Chag? What say you? What do you think? Mitzvah? No mitzvah? Doesn't sound like it, right? So, the most of them are Rishon, don't really comment on this Gemara. But the Poshim Shat, don't be so shy, you're correct. The Poshim Shat is, yeah, it seems to be, you just read the Gemara, you don't have to be such a Lamdan. Sometimes you can outthink yourself. Sometimes you just gotta read the Gemara. The Gemara seems to say is only a mitzvah, Laila Rishon. The Gemara said, Af Sheshes Yamim Rishus. The only exclusion to Rishus was the first night. So sure enough, Demiri says this explicitly. Most don't even comment. But Demiri says explicitly, Ein Chiyuva Kol Shiva, Ela Laila HaRishon Bavad. The only Chiyuv is on the first night. Hashar Kol HaYamim, Kol She'ena Ocho Chametz, Ocho Mashi Yirtza. Give whatever you want. So you'll tell me, but matzah is traditional, and matzah is, you know, what my Zayda ate, and my elder Zayda ate. So is gefilte fish. So is cholent. So is herring. There's lots of traditional Jewish foods. There's even lots of traditional Jewish Pesach foods. But in essence, says the Meiri, halachically, other than at the Seder, no matter how much matzah you eat, matzah brei, matzah butter and jam, matzah and this, matzah and that, it doesn't matter. There's zero mitzvah content. There's a mitzvah to say to arise, say to eat matzah at the Seder, but after that, you're off the cliff. There's nothing. It's as if you're eating gefilte fish or anything else you like. There's no mitzvah. It might be nice. I was so good for your digestion. But whatever it is, it's not a mitzvah. Says Miri Beferish. And sure enough, the Rambam, basically, in a halakha context, in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam seems to say the same thing. Mitzvah say, Mishnah Torah, lechol matzah, b'lel chamish asar. The night of the Seder. Shinamar, b'arav tochol matzos. Avar shah haregel. Achilas matzah, rishus. That's it, it's a rishus. It's only rishus, b'lachamishasar bilvad chova, only on the Leila Seder. But after the Seder, it's just a rishus. This is not so innovative, not so revolutionary, it just seems to be repetition of the Gemara. But, there is another way of looking at things. And this other way has one prominent advocate among the Rishonim, and one very famous advocate among the Achronim. Among the Rishonim, one of the classical Mefarshei HaChumash, it's in the Mikros Gedolos, maybe you're familiar with it, maybe you've seen so far, is a parish called the Chizkuni. So the Chizkuni is troubled by the seeming contradiction and the confusion in the Psukim. Some Psukim talk about, again, not that we read, but some Psukim talk about Shivas Yamim eating matzah, some talk about 6 days. So the Gemara says in the end it's only that one day. But why would there be a Pasuk out there that says Shivas Yamim? So take a look at the Chizkuni. It says, after all, the Pasuk says, Matzos Tochelu Shivas Yamim Ksiv. Again, that wasn't in our Parsha, but there's another Pasuk that says that. So how could the Torah say, even in Parsha in Sefer Dvarim, Shivas Yamim, that you have to eat matzah for 7 days? It's not true. The Gemara just got through saying, you only have to eat matzah when? At the Seder. So says the Chizkuni, Kolomer, it means to say, Im Ochal Matzah Kos Shivas Hayamim, Vikomakom Kiyom Hu Apasuk. So what's the key word in that? Kiyem. We've spoken about this in previous shurim. Right? There's two types of mitzvos. There's a mitzvah chiyuvis. Let's say like putting on tefillin. You have to do it. What if you didn't do it? That's called a bittul mitzvah saseh. Averas are not just when you do something wrong. I spoke lashon hara, I ate something I shouldn't. You can have an avera by not doing something you had to do. That is a violation by omission. If you violate a lo sase, that's a commission of an avera. But you can also have an omission. You didn't do a mitzvah sase. You didn't put on tefillin. You didn't daven, because it's a chiyuv to do those things. But we have other mitzvos, which are known as a mitzvah kiyumis. Mitzvah kiyumis means it's not a strict obligation. But if you do it, cha-ching, there's a mitzvah. And it could even be, in this case, a mitzvah d'oraisa. The big difference is not when you do it. The difference is if you don't do it. If you don't do a kiyumis, you didn't do anything wrong. If you don't do a chayuvis, you did an avera. So says the Chizkuni, if you don't eat a kezayis matzah at the Seder, so that's an avera. That's actually a very serious avera. But that's only at the Leila Seder. What if you don't eat matzah the rest of the Chag? Because it doesn't exactly agree with you. So you don't want to eat matzah the rest of the Chag. Says the Chizkuni, ein echanami, there's no avera. But let's say I do eat matzah, there is a mitzvah. How could it be? Didn't the Gemara say only Leil HaRishon, Leil HaSeder? Says Chizkuni, it's a chiyuv at the Seder. It's a kiyum the rest of the way. That's a very beautiful pshat. He nicely ties into the psukim. But at the end of the day, the Chizkuni is a mafarish on Chumash. Among the poskim, we'll see, I hope throughout the shir, that there may be a broader support for this idea. But the most well-known advocate of this idea is none other than the legendary Vilna Gaon. Aside from the Vilna Gaon's own comments in Shulchan Aruch and other places, we also have a sefer. It's a beautiful, fascinating little sefer called the Maaser Rav. The Maaser Rav was put together by Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, and it wasn't like an art school book just telling you his whole life story. It was basically certain hanhagos of the Vilna Gaon and explaining them when he's different than other people. Many years later, in a similar vein, when Rav Soloveitchik died, Rav Shechter has now written a series of 3 svarim. Maybe he's planning on writing more, I don't know, but it's already up to 3, which are basically in a similar pattern. Rav Shechter called the first one Nefesh HaRav, which was patterned after the Maaser HaRav, but the first one was after the Vilna Gaon. And that is that it wasn't just a biography style about stories, and you know, when he was Shana Aleph, he was really good, and you know, he wasn't so learning, and then in Elul, he got very serious. Well, probably the Rav would have been serious even in Elul. But it's about specifically certain hanhagos that they had, maybe a little different than the average, with a little bit of a halachic basis. So sure enough, take a look at this source. Maaser Rav Simen Kuf Pei Hei says that the Vilna Gaon also agreed. The Vilna Gaon also held that there's a mitzvah asei to eat matzah the whole chag. Every bit of kezayis of matzah that you have, the whole chag, is another mitzvah. It's just if you don't eat the matzah, it's not nevera. Aye, but didn't the Gemara say it's a reshus? Sheshes yamim reshus? Reshus just means an option, right? I can wear khaki pants, I can wear blue pants. That's a reshus. Got a white shirt, I can wear a blue shirt. That's a reshus. So says the Vilna Gaon, no. He has a key phrase where I have it underlined. Umitzvah lagabechova reshus karila. For PK and mitzvah deraisa. We have objective definitions and we have a relative, subjective. It doesn't mean reshus as in blue pants or gray pants. It means a reshus, it's a lower level than what comes before it. At the Seder, it's a chiyuv. The rest of the chag, it's on a lower level. What's a lower level? It doesn't mean it's nothing, like we said before, chulint, you know, kishka, gefilte fish. That's really a reshus. You eat what you like, you don't eat what you don't like. But matzah the rest of the chag, that's something serious. That's a mitzvah kiyumis. The Gemara's lashon is a little bit misleading, says the Gemara, but don't be misled. It's not nothing, it's really, really a mitzvah. And in fact, the Maaser Rav then gives us a testimony about the Vilna Gaon's own hanhaga. Not only did he eat matzah throughout the chag, who here is familiar with the phrase ni'ilas hachag? Maybe in the shuls you grew up in, maybe you were in yeshiva. You ever have a ni'ilas hachag? What is ni'ilas hachag? Fantastic. So we're fantastic. Excellent. Your brother-in-law, Isaacson?
No, Rabbi Isaacson.
Oh, Rabbi Isaacson's from Staten Island. Okay, so it's very good, Mr. Feifel. I'll point out the irony of something you're saying in a moment. It'll be self-evident. So we're familiar, many of us, with, well, let me say back. We're all familiar with Shalosh Shuddos. Shalosh Shuddos is the last meal on Shabbos. There is no Shalosh Shuddos on Yontif. We have to have 2 meals on Yontif. That's a mitzvah. We don't have to have a 3rd meal. There's no Sudash Lishit on Yontif. However, as was correctly pointed out, there's a tradition which is common, and it's getting more and more common. Many shuls, in our shul in Baltimore, for example, but many shuls, where they do a ne'ilah sachag, which is they don't have shal shuddos every day of Yontif, but the last day of Yontif, the achron, so if you talk about a chutzlar, it's the 8th day of Sukkot, or the 8th day of Pesach, or in some cases, the 2nd day of Shavuos even. The last meal, shal shuddos, after mincha, before marv, on the last day, they have what is basically a shal shuddos, but instead of calling it shal shuddos, because that would be funny, because it's Yontif, we call it ne'ilah sachag. It's like saying goodbye to the chag. So as Mr. Pfeiffer mentioned, it actually, in more modern times, became like a Hasidic thing. And then, like so many other things, it spilled over to beyond the Hasidic world. But what's the makor? The makor is from the Vilna Gaon. It's a historical irony. The Hasidim took it and ran with it, because in general, Shal Shudis, by Shabbos, by everything, by Hasidim is like the most holy time, the Raza, the lower the lights, it's all, so they couldn't deal with not having that a whole Yontif. But the first, as far as I know, the earliest reference for any notion of Nilsa Chag comes from the Vilna Gaon. But the Vilna Gaon didn't do it on Sukkot, he didn't do it on Shavuos. The Vilna Gaon only did it on Pesach. Why, says the Maaseh Rav? I'm just paraphrasing what it says here in the last two lines. Because the Vilna Gaon said, look, the sun is setting, Pesach is ebbing away. So what am I losing? What do I have only 10 minutes, 15 minutes left for? Matzah. So he, instead of just learning whatever else the Vilna Gaon did, I guess really there was nothing else he did, he just learned. But instead of that, he took a break from learning, which for the Vilna Gaon was something. Because he wanted to be able to wash one last time, to have yet another, one last, nacha kezayis of matzah. Because for him, that was a mitzvah aseh d'oraisa. How could it be mitzvah aseh? The Seder was a week ago. The Shitaso, the Vilna Gaon, held. There's a mitzvah kiyumus all 7 days. And as a way of showing how much he loved this mitzvah, he even had the minhag of a shalash shudus, what they called it, which we now call Nils HaChag, at the end of Yontif. Aruch HaShulchan, it doesn't always follow the Vilna Gaon, but something was influenced by the Vilna Gaon. Aruch HaShulchan, one of the classic Ashkenazi poskim, Aruch HaShulchan, actually, paskins like this Vilna Gaon. It says, Mikol Mako Mitzvah Le'echol Matzah Kol Yemei Pesach K'dechsev Shivas Yamim Tochol Matzos. It's fascinating. When you, if you didn't know any background, this is sometimes the danger if we just learn the Aruch HaShulchan, which is learn Mishnah Berurah. Here the Aruch HaShulchan says, there's a mitzvah kiyumus di matzah all 7 days, k'dechsev. Now what kind of sources usually teach us halachos and then say, as it's written, k'dechsev? That sounds like a Gemara. But this drasha is in no Gemara. It's in a Vilna Gaon. It's in a Chizkuni. At least some poskim, including Aruch HaShulchan, are so taken by it, they present it as if it's a bona fide drasha, which according to the Vilna Gaon and the Chizkuni, it's a drasha. It's not in the Gemara, but they really held it as a drasha. Shivas Yamim is a mitzvah, not a reshus like it's gefilte fish. It's a mitzvah. It's just not a chiyuv. If you don't eat it, it's not an aveira. But if you eat it, it's a bona fide mitzvah. So what we have here on the books is a very basic foundational machlokas. Is the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, as is indicated from the Pasuk in our Parsha, Parsha's Bo, Be'erev Tochlu Matzos, only a Chiyuv and only in a mitzvah on the Leil HaSeder? That seems to be the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara, and it certainly was understood that way, it seems, by the Meiri, the Rambam, and many others. Or do we say no? There's this minority opinion out there, which by the time you get to the Aruch HaShulchan is given real legitimacy, which is that no, the Chiyuv is Leil HaSeder. But that doesn't mean it's chop liver the rest of Yontif. It's a real mitzvah, just a mitzvah kiyumis. Everyone understand the machlokas and where it's coming from? Any questions? What we've seen until now? Any questions? Okay. So how can we understand this machlokas, and how can we get to be a better understanding of the mitzvah of matzah? So I want to share with you is something I've worked on for many years, and it's basically my development, and there'll be some extra mar makomos here, which I have for you, but I'm happy and proud to say that the kernel, the original inspiration and the insight of this idea was something that I heard many years ago from my Rebbe, Rabbi Rosenzweig. And over the years I've been working with it and looking for more makoros and packaging it even more. But etzem, it's a chiddush of Rabbi Rosenzweig. And that is that if we really want to understand the mitzvah of matzah, we actually have to understand the relationship between matzah and chametz. I mean the relationship. One's a mitzvah say, one's a lo say, one's a terrible thing, one's a great thing. What do you mean relationship? So here's what I mean. Take a look at the bottom sources on your page, number 2. The Gemara in Pesachim teaches us the following din. How do we know what ingredients, what materials, if you will, matzah can be made out of? You know, nowadays it seems like more, certainly when I was your age, it's in recent years, proliferation of sensitivity towards allergies, celiac, all sorts of things that people affect people's diet. Sometimes it can be very serious, sometimes it's just a little convenient, but it's something. So let's say I don't want to have the regular wheat matzah, I want to have something else. You know, How do I know what materials? So who knows? Doesn't even know the answer. What's the din? How do I know? What are the ingredients that could be going to matzah? I mean, besides from water. Oh, well, so you're right. And you're really smart. So you're right. The answer is the chamesha saminim, right? We have the classical five types of grain. And that's correct. But I would have followed up if you hadn't called out. You smart guy. I would have said, but how did we know it was the five mine dagon? Who said? And what you said is correct. But let's see it in the Gemara. The Gemara says in number two, Tana de Beir Eliezer ben Yaakov, Omar kralo sachal of chametz, Shivas yamim tochal of matzos. See, earlier when the Vilna Gaon and the Chizkuni, when they quoted that pasuk about 7 days, you know, matzah, I said, wait. They only quoted half the pasuk. In fact, the pasuk itself, I won't say combines, but it juxtaposes. There's a smichut between don't eat chametz, 7 days eat matzah. So the Gemara says that before, you know, those are like two anti. Why would you put those things together? So the Gemara says it's coming to teach us something. What's it coming to teach us? Devarim habayim lidei chimutz, adam yotzei behen yidei chavasam b'matzah. Yotzei elu she'ein ba'at lidei chimutz, ele lidei sirchon. The Gemara has already established that the only ingredients that can make something chametz are the chametz minei dagon. Once we know that chametz has to be these five types of grain, only something that could have been chametz if I left it longer than 18 minutes. Only something that could have been chametz if I did wait, if I got it done in the 18 minutes or less, that's matzah. So that's something fascinating. The definition of matzah, the way it's presented in the Gemara, is not as a straight definition. It seems to be presented as what? As not chametz. Hold that thought. Look at the next Gemara. Here the Gemara wants to know about women. Are women obligated in the mitzvos of matzah and or in chametz? Now, why is there even a question? Because we know that women are exempt from mitzvos asei shazman grama, positive time-bound mitzvos. And usually you would think a holiday mitzvah is by definition, you know, time-bound. It's only 7-8 days a year. It's pretty time-limited. You know, tzedakah, davening, these kind of things maybe every day. Even within each day, then there could be issue of day versus night, certain hours. But certainly, if you have something that's only a week a year, any holiday mitzvah is always a candidate for mitzvah zman grama. Women are, for example, not chayiv to hear shofar. Women are not chayiv to shake luluv. They can do it. Many women have a minhag to do it. It's a mitzvah if they do it. They're not obligated. Mitzvah zman grama. So what about matzah? What about chametz? So says the Gemara. Saka da'at chamina, I might have thought. A second pasuk, which also combines, which juxtaposes matz and chametz, says the Gemara, I might have thought based on that, kol sheyeshna b'komachol matzah, yeshna b'bal tochol chametz. Hani noshi ho v'lesna b'komachol matzah, have a mitzvah zman grama, eim b'bal tochol matzos, nami l'sa k'mash malam. Now you have to appreciate what we just read. I maintain, and I'm open to any suggestions for competing candidates for this award, I maintain that what I just read for you, this line and a half, is the single most, I'm not exaggerating here, I might be wrong, but I'm not exaggerating. I think I'm right, but if you can prove me wrong, that'll be fine too. I believe it's the single most radical Hava Amina in all of Shas. It was good to come tonight, just for that. The Gemara has a Hava Amina that women could eat chametz on Pesach. In Isser Kores! Where did the Gemara get such a crazy Havamina from? Because the Psukim Tether combine matzah and chametz. So if we start with the assumption that women are potter for matzah, Mrs. Eishman Ramo, well maybe if they're just like the potter from eating matzah, they should be even exempt from the Isser of chametz. It's mind-boggling Havamina. On the books, a line of the Gemara matering an Isser Kores to women. Shocking. So the Gemara gets a hold of itself. The Gemara realizes, whoa, no way, that can't be. So the Gemara works backwards. The Gemara does not reject the relationship, right? But the relationship can go in the opposite direction. What's the opposite direction? Just like there. Come on, B, you got it. So too, just like they can't eat chametz, fantastic. Also, they're obligated to eat matzah. You're exactly correct. So lamaskana, the Gemara doesn't reject the relationship. It does not sever the connection. The Gemara just flips it around. We do a little switcheroo. If you start with chametz, of course it's aser. Of course the woman can eat chametz. So b'stama, they're also chayav to eat matzah. So when it came to the first Gemara, which had to do with the definition of the cheftza of matzah, what's the definition? Non-chametz. Now when it comes to deciding which gavra is obligated in chametz, are women obligated? Also, what's the driving power? Chametz. Said Rav Rosenzweig, you see from these Gemaras and other rayas that to a large extent, the definition of matzah is that it's not chametz. It's the ultimate in non-chametz. And it goes in both directions. Matzah is something that could have become chametz, but because of your decision, you took it out of the oven, you made sure you got... It's not. It could have been, but it's not. The matzah always is in the shadow of chametz. And vice versa. What is chametz? Something that could have been matzah if you had just taken it out of the oven a minute sooner. This idea of the relationship, and that to a large extent the definition of matzah is, I'll say it this way, it's a rejection of chametz. See, if you just eat fruit all Pesach, if you just have other foods, they're not chametz, but they're not anti-chametz. Matzah is a way of demonstratively rejecting chametz. When you eat matzah, you're not just eating matzah, you are in an active way not eating chametz. Now this idea, which again, in its most basic form, I originally heard from Rosenzweig, I think the earliest indication of anything like that is actually from a tshuva of the Oneg Yontif, which I found years after I heard the shir, which the Oneg Yontif just mentions kind of in passing. He doesn't make a big deal about it, but he says when it comes to Leil HaSeder, and I'm specifying this in a moment for a reason, before we turn the page, you'll see why. But he's talking now about Leil HaSeder, the kazayas that we eat at the Seder, says the Oneg Yontif, that really, 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 there are two dinims. You don't have to be just a brisker to see two dinim in things. You have to be a brisker to always see two dinim. But the Oneg Yontif was not a brisker, just a lamdan. But he says there are two dinim in the mitzvah of eating matzah at the Leil HaSeder. Imkein af onu nemar, the gam balai laharishona, Sheshchiyav mitzvah aseh. We know there's a positive mitzvah aseh to eat matzah. Where do we know that? Parshas bo be'erev tochlo matzos. Yesh b'zeh gam kein a second din. B'mashe eino ochal b'mach mitzo. When you eat that matzah at the Seder, and this year, mitzvah Shem, in a few months from now, you're going to be lamdanim, whether you're here, with your parents in America, halavai you'll be with your parents here, you're going to know you're a lamdan. You're not just eating matzah. When you eat that matzah at the Seder, says Oneg Yontif, you're doing two things. You're demanding, you're rejecting chametz by eating that kizayis of matzah. And he adds, and how did he know that? Where did Oneg Yontif get this from? From the Gemara. That's why the ingredients have to be things that could have become chametz. Since this is something, this exact ingredients, it's like skating up at the edge, right? You know, matzah is only about eight. Matzah, just a few minutes away, it could have been chametz. As if you walked right up to the edge and stuck your tongue out. We are not chametz. We're not hiding. We're not staying away from chametz. That's when we just eat our cucumbers and we eat, who knows what, macaroons or all sorts of other great Pesach food. But when we eat matzah, says Oneg Yontif, we're going right up almost into the face of the chametz and rejecting it. It's a fundamental, active, demonstrative rejection of chametz. The same chiddush of Rosenzweig, and he specifically talks about Leil HaSeder. Turn the page. The Zohar Rekia. The Zohar Rekia has nothing to do with the Zohar. It's not a mystic or Kabbalistic work. It's a book of mitzvos written by one of the later Rishonim, the Tashbites. You know, like the Rambam has Sefer Mitzvos, the Sefer Achinuch has his mitzvos, the Smak, the Psajigon. Those are the Tashbites wrote the Zohar Rekia. And he says, Anilas Daiti, in my own opinion, I want to be Mosif Mitzvah Achas. I found a new mitzvah. V'hi Lifrosh Mechilas Matzah. Excuse me, Mechilas Chametz. Kol Shivas Mea Pesach. Now, what does that mean? He discovered America. He's Columbus. He found a new mitzvah called Don't Eat Chametz. What does that mean? It's in the Chumash. We know you can't eat Chametz. That's not the Tashbetz. What's his Chiddush? His chiddush is that in addition to a losase, you can't eat chametz the whole week. He found a new thing called a mitzvos asei not to eat chametz. Now, how do you fulfill a mitzvos asei of not eating chametz? Gentlemen? When you eat matzah, says Zorakia, when you eat matzah, that is a kiyum in not eating chametz. And he is broadening the discussion. And this is really what Rosenthal's chiddush was. The Onigyantev limited it to the first night. Perhaps a more plausible way and a broader way of saying it is maybe on the first night the focus is on eating matzah. And that's why the Gemara called that a chova. But when we say that there's a kiyum kol shivas yamim, maybe what we're saying is that the kiyum is the rejection of chametz. It's not that I'm not eating it because I don't like, you know, the starch, just because I don't like that. I'm eating matzah, it's the same ingredients. When I eat matzah, it's a way of showing it's not just a question of taste or palate. It's a demonstrative, unquestionable, in-your-face rejection to the chametz. So we're going to bring this home, and I'm going to show you a practical way where this, I think, comes out. And basically what we've seen now is three approaches to matzah, and I think we'll see all three in the following chat. Let's just review. What are the three approaches? So the simple approach to matzah is that there's a mitzvah at the Seder, and the rest of the yontif, it's cholent. Gefilte fish, it's nothing. It's gurnished. That's the simple pshat of the Gemara. Second pshat is the way the Chizkuni and the Vilna Gaon seem to say, which is, there's a chiyuv to eat matzah, and then the other 7 days is a kiyum. And what we're suggesting now, which either we could say on its own, or maybe we could even suggest, maybe, that this is what the Vilna Gaon really meant, I don't know, is that the kiyum called shiva is not a kiyum per se, but a kiyum because it's rejecting chametz. Three different ways of understanding matzah the rest of the chag. Is it nothing? Is it a simple, straightforward kiyum? Or is it this new, fancy kind of kiyum as a rejection of chametz? So now let me ask you the following question. If I eat matzah the rest of the chag, I have to wash, I have to make a motzi, I'm going to have to bench. Do I make a bracha asher kereshanam b'sos v'zivanu al achilas matzah any time other than the Seder or not? Has anyone ever made that bracha? Even if you had a ton of matzah, the whole chag, did you ever make the mitzvah achilas matzah outside of the Seder? Are you sure? Well, you should be, because that was correct. We never make the bracha anywhere but the Seder. Now, it happens to be that one of the great poskim, the Maharsham, he writes in one of his tshuvas that at some point, he was living in the 1900s in Galicia. He was a great Hasidic posek, considered in the Hasidic world the Gadol Hador of Poskim. He writes that there were people, I don't exactly know who and how many and where, there were people who were saying brachas the whole chag. And he says it's crazy, it's ridiculous, you shouldn't do it. But other than that, we have almost no evidence anywhere in history ever, anyone ever making a bracha. So that's not going to be the nafka mina, make a bracha or not. Because it seems to be that everyone's going to agree not to make a bracha. My question for you is, why not? Why not make a bracha? Why not? So take a look. We make brachas on kiyumas all the time. We make brachas on mitzvahs all the time. Sure. But take a look at the Magen Avraham. Source number 4, I'm sorry, there's a typo there. As far as I know, there's no sefer called the Gan Avraham, but there's a Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says simple. You want to know why there's no mitzvah after the Seder? Hainu mishum? Ain mitzvah. There ain't any mitzvah. We do sit in a sukkah. That's not a chiyuv. There's no chiyuv to eat in the sukkah other than the Leil HaRishon. But if I have a kazayas of something that I'm going to eat in the sukkah for, I make a leishay b'sukkah, not just on the first night of sukkah, I make a leishay b'sukkah the whole yontif. That's all shaylu shmiyat tzeres, in the sukkah, out of the sukkah, leishay. But the rest of the chag, the other 6 days, I certainly make a leishay b'sukkah. It's not a chiyuv. Chiyuv is only on the first night of sukkahs. But there's a kiyum. Says the Magen Avraham, yeah, there's a kiyum on sukkahs to eat in the sukkah. But matzah, the rest of the chag, it's nothing. You might as well eat cholent. You don't make a brachas mitzvah on cholent. I tag a hold you should, because it's cholent. But what could I do? I've been outvoted by all of Jewish history. But says the Magen Avraham, of course. Because the idea of the kira and making sure we don't warm up. Yeah. And yet we still don't make a bracha. It's a tzarachin, you know. It's some mitzvahs just didn't, you know. Some people are not appreciated in their lifetime. Cholent is still waiting for its ultimate respect. So says the Magen Avraham, Poshet. You know why there's no mitzvah? You know why there's no bracha? Because there's no mitzvah. Who does that sound like? Like the Meiri, like the Rambam, like the Pashat Pshat and the Gemara. There's nothing. But the truth is, even though the Meiri is very straightforward, the Magen Avraham is straightforward, the Magen Avraham is not the first person to ask this question. The earliest source that we have to ask the question of why there's no bracha on matzah called Shiva is a comment of the Baal HaMa'or. You know the Baal HaMa'or, one of the Rishonim, always arguing with the Ramban, right, in the back of the Rif, on the pages of the Rif, from southern France. So the Baal HaMa'or asks this question, or he says, Yesh Sholem, there are those who ask, why don't we make a bracha on matzah al Shiva the way we do make a bracha on the Sukkah? So now that we know the Magen Avraham, what should we expect the Baal HaMa'or to give an answer? A very simple, straightforward answer that there's no mitzvah. That's why. So even though that is a very obvious thing, it's waiting to be delivered as the answer, the Baal HaMa'or does not give that straightforward, simple answer. The Baal HaMa'or gives a much more creative answer like this. Says the Baal HaMa'or, you know why? Because we don't make a bracha on every mitzvah kiyumis. It depends. A mitzvah kiyumis, which we have no choice, not by halachic, but by circumstances, we're going to be forced to do it, that will make a bracha. How are you forced to sit in a sukkah? You don't have to ever eat mezonos or hamotzi. You could eat fruit and vegetables the whole chag. But, says the Chazal, we have a mesorah, you can't go more than 3 days without sleeping. I tried to disprove this during finals week in college, and I realized the Chazal, you should never mess with them. You can't go more than 3 days without sleeping. So, memela, says the Baal HaMa'or, it's true you don't have to have eaten the sukkah after the first night, but you're going to have to sleep. And he's assuming like the mitzvah d'oraisa, you're going to sleep in the sukkah. So since you can't avoid the sukkah after the first night, the reality is, the natural reality is you're going to have to be involved in the sukkah to fulfill a mitzvah. So since you're clearly shayach to the mitzvah, the whole shiva, no, whenever you eat in the sukkah, also make a bracha. However, he says, when it comes to the mitzvah of eating matzah, there, assuming that you don't have a great desire for, you know, cardboard type thing, tasting thing, you don't have to eat matzah. You can wait the whole yontif. And especially if you don't believe in gebruchs, then there's nothing even tasty about matzah. You can't even have matzah brai or matzah balls or, you know. So what do you need to have matzah for? You can go the whole yontif without having matzah. It's not like sukkahs where you can't avoid the sukkah because you have to sleep. Matzah you can really avoid. After the Seder, you never have to see matzah again. It says the Baal HaMa'or, for that kind of a kiyum, which you really could avoid, it's mamish avoidable, we don't make a bracha even if you eat it. So I see already some of the wheels are turning, you don't like this Baal HaMa'or, you have a question on the Baal HaMa'or, we don't have time for that now. I have a simple question though. Why didn't the Baal HaMa'or just give a straight answer? What do you have to go like this for? Even if you like the Baal HaMa'or, it's still not a simple answer. It's a little bit convoluted. I think that's just a charitable, and not just a charitable, that's a fair way of characterizing this Baal HaMa'or. So why did he go like this if he could have just gone like this? What's the obvious answer? Because apparently he felt you couldn't just go straight. The Avnei Nezer, others, but I gave you the Avnei Nezer on the sheet. The Avnei Nezer points this out. He says, why didn't the Baal HaMa'or just give a simple answer and say there's no mitzvah called Shiva? That's the easiest answer. No bracha because no mitzvah. Why did the Baal HaMa'or have to come up with this whole thing of sleeping and eating? Says the Avnei Nezer, you see from the Baal HaMa'or, apparently he holds him ochel matzah b'shar yomim who owes a mitzvah. Kamoshu owes a mitzvah ochel b'sukkah b'chol achag. Just like there is a mitzvah if you eat in the sukkah, all shiva, that's a mitzvah. What's that called? Kiyumis. Says the Avnei Nezer, you see from the Baal HaMa'or that he holds what? That even if you eat matzah kol shiva, it's what? A mitzvah kiyumis. That's why he could give the Magen Avraham's answer, because he doesn't believe in it. He believes there is a mitzvah. And if there is a mitzvah, therefore, there should have been a bracha. Except he has to explain, like this, why it's different than sukkah. So, who's that going like? That works beautifully with the simple understanding of the Chizkuni, or the Aruch HaShulchan, or the Vilna Gaon. If you give me 2 more minutes, I'll give you the third and final piece of the puzzle. We said, based on our Rosenzweig and other the modern Makamos, that perhaps there's a different understanding of matzah kol shiva. That especially kol shiva, maybe the real definition of matzah is that it's the anti chametz. It's the rejection of chametz. So sure enough, Rosenzweig suggested that maybe this should be the reason why we don't make a bracha. But before telling you how he spelled it out, so years after I was in his shir, sure enough I found in two achronim, mamish mechaven to the same idea as him. and they specifically connect it to a bracha. I'm not going to read it inside, we don't have time, but just if you want to take a look, I gave it to you in two sources. One is in the Steichem. The Steichem was an encyclopedia, we've seen this before. I think when you go to Chevron, part of the tour, as you see, the Steichem was published in Chevron by the daughter of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. That's a whole story, which the tour guide in Chevron should tell you about when you go there. That's the Steichem, the Halachic Encyclopedia. So aside from having his own knowledge of Chaim Chizkiya Medini, who was the author of the Steichem, he also corresponded with all the Talmidei Chachamim of his generation, and he always quotes them. So one of the people he quotes from is somebody named Shlomo Zalman of Brisk. Wouldn't you know it? Before Brisk became a household name on the map, there was another Rav of Brisk. Rav Chaim wasn't the first Rav of Brisk. There was another Rabbanim of Brisk in Jewish history. One of them, who I have to admit I don't know anything about, was Shlomo Zalman of Brisk. But apparently in the water they didn't know how to learn. And he says something similar to what the great Svardisha Posek, the Birkei Yosef, which is the last source on your sheet, also says more succinctly, but very clearly. It says the Birkei Yosef, the same thing as the Shlomo Zalman of Brisk and the Steichemed, a third reason why you don't make a bracha. You know why you don't make a bracha on matzah kol shiva? Because what's the kiyum of matzah? When you're eating matzah kol shiva, it's not reshus, it's not just like chillin' tarka vildavish. What is it? It's a kiyum in rejecting chametz. It's a kiyum in baal tochal chametz. If that's the case, we have a thing. This is like a shechiyonu you can make on this. Because this is a chiddush, a new category, it's a new creation, which we don't usually have anywhere. It's a kiyum of a losase. That phrase is a chiddush. It sounds almost nonsensical. You're not mekayim losases. We're mekayim mitzvos. We usually avoid, like the plague, we avoid lotases. That's why the first word is lo. Don't do it! Kiyum means I did something, I accomplished something. Says Shlomo Zalman, especially the Birkei Yosef is beautiful and clear. Says the Birkei Yosef, Nimsa biyado, kiyum lo sase. A halachic new creation. Where in a positive, active way, I fulfill a lo tase. Now wrap your brain around that one. Fascinating. What do they mean? They mean exactly this idea. That if you just stay away from chametz, which is a great thing, in a very passive way, you've avoided drinking the poison. You're going to be healthy. You didn't drink the poison. You avoided the losase. But if you go ahead and eat, that's an active thing, you positively, actively ate matzah, then that is a kiyum. It is an active rejection of chametz. Because of this interrelationship, interconnectedness between matzah and chametz. By just eating fruit and macaroons, you're not rejecting chametz, you're avoiding chametz. But by eating matzah, it's a kiyum in rejecting chametz. And that is a mitzvah. It's a kiyum ha-mitzvah. All shiva. But we know, anyone know any lotases you ever made a bracha on? The answer is no, we don't make brachas on lotases. So says the Birkei Yosef, says the Shlomo Zalman of Brisk, you know why you don't make a bracha called shiva? Because in essence it's a kiyum of the lotase of avoiding, in this case, rejecting chametz. So all three concepts, which we saw, both in general, as well as and the question of whether there's a mitzvah called shiva, they come to fruition. Each one of them has an expression in this very, very important question of why don't we make a bracha? It's a mystery. It's matzah. Why don't we make a bracha called shiva? So either because it's nothing, or maybe because it's a kiyum, but it's the kind of a kiyum which we could have avoided the whole balamor thing, or maybe because it's a kiyum, but it's really a new halachic creation called the kiyum of a losase. So try to remember this, don't lose your notes, because when it comes time for the Seder, when you're home for Pesach, with your family, you'll share with us some idea. It's a beautiful, beautiful idea, and gives us a deeper insight into matzah, and especially the relationship between matzah and chametz. All right, everyone, have a great show.